This episode of Fermented Adventure the Podcast features Jim, Ellen, Rob, and Kevin Huff of Liberty Pole Spirits, as well as some special friends and guests on the podcast. We had an amazing time at Liberty Pole's grand opening. Be sure to reach out to Liberty Pole Spirits and everybody there and let them know what you thought about the podcast. Cheers! Ladies and gentlemen, craft spirit enthusiasts, and those interested in the intoxicating world of craft distilleries, cideries, meaderies, wineries, and the occasional foray into breweries. It's Rich Shane, and welcome to Fermented Adventure, the podcast, where we bring you the fascinating people that are making the mash, fermenting, distilling, bottling, pouring, and delivering to you some of the finest libations in the world. Before we get started, here are a few housekeeping items. Thank you for bringing the podcast into wherever you are and whatever you're doing. We truly are grateful that you have chosen to listen and make us part of your day. It would mean the world to us if you left a 5-star review. This helps us climb in the rankings and it makes it easier for others to find us. Don't hesitate to leave us your comments as well. If the podcast didn't meet your expectations, tell us why. We're always striving to improve. You can find us at fermentedadventure.com. We are on Instagram and Facebook as Fermented Adventure. Email us at fermentedadventure@gmail.com. All right, FA Nation, let's meet our guests. He's Jim Huff. I'm Rich Shane. This is Fermented Adventure, the podcast. Jim, welcome back to the podcast.
Rich, thank you. So honored and happy to be back with you.
Well, if people want to go back, listen to episode 31, where we met and sat down with you and learned all about Liberty Pole Spirits. But Jim, what we're going to talk about today is your grand opening this weekend of the new distillery campus.
Look forward to it. It was a week that has been in the works for 3 years. So, kind of went by in the blink of an eye. And it was a great weekend. And, you know, honestly, I'm glad it's behind us now. We can start, you know, just focusing on getting back to normal.
Well, I will tell you, when somebody chooses or designs a party, Liberty Pole throws a party. And I don't know if you have the numbers about how many people attended over the course of just Saturday and Sunday. Do you have any idea how many people, friends, families, you know, onlookers stop by?
Rich, I should have checked our POS system because that gives us a count of the tabs. I didn't do that. I will tell you though that we were supposed to be open until 8, but by 6:50, our ticket times for cocktails were running so long that we decided to call it. And I started intercepting people in the parking lot and just said, "Hey, you know, I don't want you to wait 45 minutes for a cocktail. You know, I don't want you to wait 45 minutes for a cocktail. So to make us both happy, we've closed the bar. You know, you're welcome to go in and see what we have. You know, we've got a beautiful space. Please feel free to go in and walk around. The spirit shop is open. We're still doing tastings and neat pours in there. But, you know, we had to shut the cocktail program down. It got insane, you know, the last couple hours of the afternoon.
You know, Dawn and I did talk about circling back and seeing if you were still open and coming back for those. The cocktails, first of all, they're just tremendous, flavorful, and it really starts with your spirits. And now this new distillery campus, you have the ability to do some amazing things.
We do. Thank you. I give all the credit in the world to Ellen, who, you know, you're going to talk to. You've talked to her. She's my wife of 35 years. Fantastic palate, great cook, you know, kind of reluctantly took on the role of mixologist because we realized that, you know, we had to come up with a craft cocktail program to really complement, you know, at the time, 7 years ago, it was a very young whiskey. So we put together, you know, just this amazing craft cocktail program. And, you know, I still credit that with kind of getting us a lot of goodwill in our very early days.
When we came right in and the first recollection I'm always going to have or the first experience is seeing you outside and greeting people as the parking lot was filling up and just really getting a chance to have a few moments with you where you took us through the Rick House, which, as you shared, is the largest Rick House in Pennsylvania because it's the
only Rick House in Pennsylvania.
And until you have your second Rick House, but it's gorgeous. And that coming together and the designing of that, you shared with that, but talk a little bit more about that Rick House.
You know, Rich, as we kind of put together the plans for what we wanted to do, every decision we made focused on the whiskey. You know, how can we make better whiskey? You know, if you look at the kind of the campus, I like to call it a campus because we do have three buildings, the Rick House, the production space, and the meeting house. You know, the meeting house is the smallest by far of the three buildings. And that's, you know, that's by design because the, you know, I think if you look where we kind of made our investments, it was in the two spaces where we could produce better whiskey. I mean, it's always about the whiskey for us. You know, we could have made a smaller Rick House, a smaller production area, built a kick-ass event space and, you know, booked it every weekend for big weddings. But that's not what we're about. I mean, we're about the whiskey. So, you know, we wanted to provide, you know, a really great destination experience. And, you know, the Rick House, it gives us, we think it's going to be one of the best aging environments in the world. And I have some specific reasons why I say that, but it's a fantastic place to age whiskey. And you know, it was just key to kind of it was the linchpin to what we did. You know, we knew we needed to have this in place.
The history of Liberty Pole, you continue to bring it and thread it through everything you do, but I was so, you know, gave me chills and goosebumps how you continue to bring that history and make sure you emphasize the history in the whole campus and everything that you put together.
Well, thanks. I mean, I was impressed, Rich, that you did pick up on, you know, there's a lot of little nuggets in there that, you know, we fully expect it's going to take people 3-4 visits to really kind of work their way through the different, you know, kind of historical artifacts and observations that we have in there. But yeah, it's very important because, again, you know, we're fortunate to really be, you know, in an area that honors its whiskey heritage, that has a really rich whiskey heritage. And, you know, we honor those farmer distillers of, you know, the Whiskey Rebellion era who, you know, kind of just wanted a fair tax. And so, you know, part of the goal of the campus is to really give people that experience of entering a colonial meeting house and, you know, kind of being surrounded with wood and stone and chandeliers. And, you know, one of the local magazines did an article on our opening, and I loved what one of the lines that the writer used. She said, "Rarely do you step into a brand new building and step back in time." And I really felt like that was just kind of a perfect description of, you know, what we wanted to do. And I think what we accomplished.
What will always resonate with me and will continue to resonate with me is the Huff family, just the way you embrace everybody that walks in the door. And you immediately feel like you're part of what goes on. And I have had that conversation over and over again with people that were there on Saturday. Just how much you make people feel warm and welcome. And they're part of all of everything, that growth for the last 7 years. And that's magical. So when you step into that meeting space, that gathering house, it's, you're sitting down in somebody's just expanded living room with the fireplaces and, "Hey, can I pour you a dram? And we'll have some cocktails." Do you get that feedback? Does it hit with you? I mean, I think it's a family legacy that you continue to impart, but do you recognize it?
You know, Rich, we do. And you know, it's just who we are. I mean, you know, all of us, all four of us kind of have that personality. And Ellen and I, you know, must have had it, you know, in our genes, and we passed it on to Rob and Kevin. You know, I always tell people that, you know, if you don't have that in your DNA to be welcoming, to be conversationalist, to bring people into what you're doing, then you really probably shouldn't open a distillery. You know, I mean, part of that experience that we try so hard to give, you know, is that welcoming nature. We want to welcome people in. You know, you're never going to find us kind of up in our office, you know, on spreadsheets when we're open. We're on the floor, we're talking, we're giving tours. It's just, we all love to do it, you know, and it's not a chore for any of us to do that. It's really who we are. And it's so great to see that it does resonate with people, and people love that. And that makes it even more special.
Can you share some of those moments in your mind going through Saturday that you experienced, and just things that, if you kind of think back to the day, anything, things that stand out for you?
You know, it was at the end of the evening that is the most still fresh in my mind. It was, you know, it was a combination of having to tell people who wanted to come out and support us and have a cocktail that I couldn't help them, you know, but, you know, genuinely, I did not want them to wait, and they didn't want to wait. And to a person, you know, I probably turned 20 carloads away in that hour, and not one person was upset. So that was, and I didn't know all of them. In fact, I only knew a couple of them. I think most of them were new, but I think just the fact that, you know, we were out in front of it and, you know, tried to be proactive, I think meant a lot to people, but also the people that were leaving. You know, it was time, their day was over and they were going out to the cars. And since I was in the parking lot anyways, I was apologizing. I was thanking them for their patience. And I said, well, you know, what was your average wait time for your cocktail? And again, not a single complaint, not, you know, they, everybody said it was worth it. We were having fun. We didn't even realize the drinks were taking a long time. So that just that interaction at the end of the day, with, you know, people that could have and probably should have been, you know, disappointed, and they weren't. And that was really special to me.
I think when you're there to celebrate and celebrate people and celebrate an experience and all that has, you know, the culmination of everything you put together, things take time. You respect it. You understand it. You're part of a celebration. And again, that comes back to, hey, it's 7 years of building relationships. It's 7 years of impacting the community through your distillery, through what you produce, through that whiskey. And you can't help but be, you know, patient and understanding when you're actually part of that celebration too. And, you know, why make yourself the center of attention when really the day is the center of attention?
Right, right. Good point.
So Ellen shared your morning having coffee on the deck before you guys came out. What was the moment for you when you returned home?
Crash. We had leftovers. We had something quick leftover, and I think we were out by 10:30, quarter to 11. We were too exhausted to really celebrate, too exhausted to go back out on the deck. We did that on Sunday. We did that Sunday night. We took some pours out on the deck and, you know, had a cigar. And that's when we were able to really look back on the week. Not just the grand opening on Saturday. We ran a couple silent openings, friends and family, on Wednesday, Thursday. We had a media day on Friday. And so it was just a whirlwind week. So it was really nice to be able to sit back and just talk about the week and how, you know, how great it went.
And now you're open. It's all this planning for 3 years. What are your days going to look like now? What do you get to focus on? Just going back and making good whiskey and figuring out where the barrels are going to go and tasting that seems to be what's happening now, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Now you said you talked to Rob and Kev, and I don't know if you asked them that same question, because their response would be different than mine. Their response would be, you know, let's get to work on planning to bring in four more fermenters that we left room for. So, you know, I want to relax a bit and enjoy what we have, and before we get into the planning for the next move.
Is this a scoop? There's a next move?
No, you saw. No, there is no next move. The only next move would be, you know, we did leave space for additional fermentation capacity, which, you know, fermentation is always the critical path for distillery. So, you know, so we do have the ability down the road to increase our production. And, you know, it's always in the back of your mind, Rich, because right now, you know, we have stayed by design hyper regional Western Pennsylvania. You know, we're not, you know, I think we're one of the few distilleries that, you know, we haven't even pursued like a direct to consumer shipping arrangement with, you know, with companies that could get us to 40, 41, 42 states. And that's by design. I mean, we are really making an effort to hold on to as many of our barrels as we can. We want that average age of our whiskey to keep growing. And, you know, the only way to do that is to right now stay, you know, just stay in our backyard and try to, you know, continue to win friends and ambassadors and people in our backyard. And if we do that and we make more whiskey, you know, we think that the rest will take care of itself in a few years down the road when we have more product available.
What's really beautiful about the craft spirit industry, being a craft distiller, is everybody gets to do it their own way. And you and Ellen and Rob and Kevin, you've done it your own way. And by doing it that way, you continue to be successful. You continue to, as you said, by design, look, you focus. The reason all this doesn't happen if you're not making exceptional products that come out of the bottle. It just doesn't happen. The fact that you're doing it is what is creating those raving fans. And you guys continue to do that, and you won't have to worry about where you're selling the bottles. You just keep having to distill, ferment, and barrel, and all that other stuff.
I'm about the whiskey, and it always will be.
Thank you so much for inviting Dawn and I to be part of your fermented adventure. We can't wait. With everything going on, where that space is now, you've got so much going on in the area, and we can't wait to come back and see you again. And maybe we'll see how barrel number one at the new campus is coming along. We'll get a little taste.
You signed it. So, you know, so we'll see. Absolutely.
Is there anything you want to share before we go and you get some sleep and get caught up and stuff? Is there anything you want to talk about or share about, you know, experience or any of your thoughts?
Just that, you know, we are insanely grateful to our friends and the whiskey enthusiasts in Pittsburgh. I don't know if you talked to any of the Pittsburgh whiskey friends, but they are a group of over 4,000 whiskey enthusiasts at this point. And
4,001.
Very
they
good.
Accepted us in the group.
Yeah. And they have, you know, they have supported us, and you know, they're ambassadors. They shout from the rooftop. They're proud to have a distillery in town that they can be proud of. And they, you know, they're just wonderful. You know, we have our core group of, you know, local friends that may not be, you know, hardcore whiskey enthusiasts, but they're part of the cocktail culture and cocktail crowd. And, you know, they come in on Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays, and they pack the place. And as I don't know if you saw our sign in the hallway, heading to the restrooms. But, you know, we dedicate the distillery to all of our loyal patrons who, you know, endured growing pains and came back after the pandemic and sat on uncomfortable chairs with no backs to, you know, to become our most loyal and cherished friends. And just the support we've gotten has been phenomenal. And, you know, anybody that's listening to this, that's been a part of that, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Jim, thank you. And thank you for being a friend of Fermented Adventure. Thanks for the memories that you're giving us, the experiences that we get to have. And we can't wait to make many more of those experiences.
Wish you live closer, Rich. I'd like, you know, I'd love for you and Don to come out without the microphone and just sit down for a couple hours and just have some cocktails and chat. That would be awesome.
It will happen. And we will not be strangers. You'll never know when we're going to show up, but we will be there.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, buddy. Appreciate it.
Wally, we're here at Liberty Pole's big grand opening. What are your impressions? What are your thoughts?
Oh, this is just amazing. Keeping with the theme of the era, the 1700s, you know, great family, great business, been visiting them for many years. And just watching this all come about, it's just been amazing.
And you have a bottle in hand. What do you have?
Oh, yes. I've got the extra rye with me today. Yep, that's their specialty today. And, you know, my boys and I, we watch when the specials come out all the time. You got to get quick. You got to get here quick and take advantage of these because they're gone so quick.
Thanks, Wally.
You bet. Have a great day.
Jeff, how long have you been with Liberty Pole?
Almost since the beginning, about 6 years. Started as a part-time bartender, was a school teacher, and retired from that a couple years ago to become operations manager.
And what is this day? This is the grand opening. We're not even 15 minutes to being open. What does this day mean to you?
It's the culmination of a lot of hard work and a big goal that is coming true.
And I know we talked a little bit. You started to choke up a little bit. What were some of those feelings you had?
It's been a lot of blood, sweat, and tears with everybody, and it's just an amazing team, and it's just great to see it all come together.
What are some of the aspects of this distillery, this new distillery, that stand out to you?
Being able to produce a lot more whiskey has been the goal. Being able to fill more barrels and let those barrels age longer, get our age statement up, and be able to put whiskey out to more people and let them enjoy it.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Kim, this is your first day at Liberty Pole on the grand opening. What is this day like? What are your thoughts about this day?
Oh, it's very exciting. This is like Christmas to me.
So Christmas, you normally run down and there are presents under the trees. What is your present under the tree today?
Seeing everybody's friendly faces, getting to share the joy of Liberty Pole and all the great cocktails that they have, and also the new releases we have today.
Talk about the new release today.
Oh, so we have a bottled old fashioned. It's equal to 6 drinks that we also carry in our gathering house. And then we also have the high rye bourbon whiskey that's on special today.
I tried it. That's delicious. New release day, grand opening, your first day. What could be better?
Oh, there could be nothing better than this. The weather's perfect. It's not raining. Everybody's happy. This is a joyous occasion.
Pardon the interruption. If you like what you hear, if you love what you're hearing, please share the podcast. Please take a screenshot of the podcast, post it on your social media, tag us just to let everybody else know about Fermented Adventure, the podcast. We'd be grateful for your help to grow our podcast. Aaron, Pittsburgh Whiskey Friends. Talk about this day at Liberty Pole and the opening.
I don't even know where to start. This is, Liberty Pole has been like family from the day they opened. The group and Liberty Pole have been together for the kind of a journey as we've grown and they've grown. The Huffs are really, they are, for, I mean, Pittsburgh Whiskey Friends, they are friends of the group and friendship. In community, they've embraced that the entire time. It's just amazing what they've done. Seeing the Rick House, driving up, I mean, it's like you're in Kentucky. I mean, I know it's a little smaller, but still that experience, that feel, I mean, it's bringing that true experience to Pennsylvania. Love what they've done.
So you've been, as you said, you as your group has expanded, Liberty Pole has grown up with you.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, talk about some of those experiences and, you know, really this next level for everybody together.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't even know how to, I'm trying to think how to, I mean, we've seen the progression of the whiskey. We've seen the progression from their distilling operations, and as they've moved from the small barrels to from the 15s to the 30s to the 50s, their progression in the whiskey, what they've done with the peated rye, which is hands down my favorite release that they have. I love that peat and rye combination. I think those two things go so beautifully together, and I think they've executed in a way that a lot of others haven't. But then you get something like the high rye bourbon today, which is, you know, that I love kind of the thumbing the nose at the industry where, you know, a lot of times you get these barely there ryes where they just make that 51% rye. So they kind of did that, but in reverse with the corn, did a 51% just barely there bourbon and the rest being all rye. And it's a fantastic release. It's really good. But I mean, it's that fun, you know, aspect of it. They're very involved in the community. They love talking to all of the members and getting feedback, and they're not afraid or shy away from what people think, or negative or positive or any other direction. Yeah, it's just, I mean, they're so open and welcoming. That's, you know, you can't ask for a better family distillery, operate, whatever you want to call it. It really is. It's a family distillery, you know, and that feeling, the moment you walk in, you feel that, you know, in the space. I can't imagine ever having a bad time here, you know.
Rick House, you're with the Pittsburgh Whiskey Friends, and we're here at Liberty Pole's grand opening. What is this? Talk about this experience for you.
This experience has really been wonderful. I was blown away just by everything that's been done here and how nicely it's been done, how professional everything looks. They're on the way to having a great, great, great business here. You know, so.
Do you have a favorite expression from Liberty Pole?
I do not. I had a bottle of their very first peated bourbon from the first run, which we're still kind of weaning the bottle, and it's very good. And that might be my favorite expression.
So you were saying that you're part of this little, even inner circle to the Pittsburgh Whiskey Friends. What is that all about?
That is correct. It's called the Rick House Inner Circle. I've met so many wonderful, generous, kind people in the Pittsburgh Whiskey Friends. So we decided to just start a little subgroup and call it the Rick House Inner Circle. Started off with about 30 people, and I think we're probably maybe 1% of the membership right now. We're up to about 50 people, and it's growing at its own speed. We do our own get-togethers and giveaways. We just had a share last Saturday that went real nice, and it was just a really nice way to get these people together that I really have bonded with, and it says a lot about the organization.
See, it's this whole experience with Liberty Pole, the Whiskey Friends, it's a community coming together.
Absolutely. Absolutely, it's a community coming together. You know, once you're in it and you meet some of these people and run across some of these people, they're just so wonderful. And whiskey really is better with friends.
Alex, Liberty Pole, this grand opening, what does this day and this experience mean to you?
I don't know. It's just really good day because I'm proud for Liberty Pole and what they've done, seeing where they've been and now obviously where they're at with the Rick House and everything. And it's almost like a little piece of Kentucky moved into southern southwest Pennsylvania.
Share some of those Liberty Pole memories or things that stand out for you that prior to this day.
Honestly, Jim and Ellen's hospitality, just anytime we've ever walked into the old one, yeah, come on, we'll show you what we're working on. Just the extreme hospitality. Like, it's just that personal touch. It almost seems like they're family. It's all the time. So
Now, you're with Pittsburgh Whiskey Friends,
mm-hmm.
and for you, what whiskey? I mean, what is that? How do you identify with whiskey?
I would say the almost like the camaraderie that comes around with whiskey, sharing whiskey, and just literally getting together and having pours. Like, seem like whiskey's better with friends. That's the slogan, and that's what I'm about.
Thanks, Alex.
Yeah.
Kevin, what does today mean to you with this grand opening at Liberty Pole?
You know what? It's so special. Whiskey is so much more about the people and the people that you drink it with, and to hear reactions and see people today and friends that we've met through whiskey is such a cool feeling. So we're beyond humbled, and it's almost surreal. It's hard to put into words kind of today's feeling.
When you look at this space being filled up with all these people, what are some of your thoughts?
Yeah, it's funny. There's a few. There's, you know, we joke as a family, and mom is the brains behind the layout of the place, and you know, she had this concept where she didn't want it to be like a big open facility where you have kind of these separate areas, and it's intimate and it's colonial, and walking around today and you can't get a parking spot out front, and people are walking a distance, but it doesn't feel overcrowded. It just feels comfortable, and it's just cool to see. It feels like home already.
As you were planning out these spaces, as you talk about mom being the brainchild behind the design, but as you were watching this take shape, what were some of your impressions on how all this was going to work?
You know, there was certainly times you feel, you know, almost nervous. You want to, you know, it's when you put it all together is whether or not this is going to work. And I know when the foundation was poured in the meeting house and we were walking through and it felt like you could touch like one side to the other. We're like, this is way too small. And then the walls go up and things look a lot better. And I think as we got closer and closer, we started to feel really good that this was going to be perfect. Perfect.
This gives you the palette, the canvas to do so much now that you couldn't do at your other location. What must be going through your mind as far as the creativity and just the consistency and the virtual expansion of what you can possibly do now?
So there's two things that we're really excited for. Is one, the emphasis on and continued focus on pot distilled whiskey. At this kind of jump, a lot of folks will go to more continuous stills, and we think they make great whiskey. We're fans of them as well. But we had experience on pot stills. That's what we have crafted our whiskey through. And so we were pretty adamant that we wanted to stay pot distilled whiskey. And so to have a second pot still, and also our old pot still as well, to help kind of drive that consistency, we're really excited for. And then the other one is the barrel warehouse. So having that 5-story warehouse, I mean, it's a whiskey playground. And so the variance in temperatures, the fact that it sits up on a hill, how open air it feels, those windows are going to be open all the time. And so to be able to play around with the different microclimates inside of that barrel warehouse, it's going to be an amazing thing to do.
Dawn and I first came to you, and I'm just thinking it was about 6 years ago, 5 years ago. We were just starting on our whiskey journey. And I think for a lot of ways, it was still the beginning of your whiskey journey. Where do you feel like you've grown up in this, and you've grown up in a distillery in a way, oh, yeah, to your palate, to your experience? What stamp are you bringing now to the Liberty Pole brand?
You know, and I think the more we get into this, the more we learn, the more we realize we don't know anything, right? And that's why we only do whiskey is you spend 24/7 thinking whiskey, drinking whiskey, making whiskey. And so the more you learn, though, it's like, wow, there's still so much that we have to hone in our whiskey making craft. So I just try to help out as I can. I think Rob is one of the most talented distillers out there. And I think he's going to start getting some serious credit. He's really good. Not a lot of other skills besides making whiskey, but
I was going to say, is there sibling rivalry here or what?
No, it's so fun. I mean, I think Rob and I are both really competitive people, but we feed off each other, and we'll have our arguments, and we've learned to have a really open communication with each other. And so we all want what's best for the distillery, for the family, and that is the guiding principle. So, yeah, it's a fun dynamic though.
From the day your father either was or was not utilizing the back deck as a still,
allegedly,
really for you, did you ever conceptualize in your mind of what this could all be and where it's come to today?
You know, that's a hard question. I think from day one, thinking of this, no, I don't think so. You know, when we got our first expansion, when we did the first expansion, the 600-gallon still, you know, we didn't even estimate the, you know, how much space we needed for barrels. And so it's just kind of been, you get through one day and it just continues to evolve. And so looking for a place to store barrels from the old place, and you know, one thing led to another, and all of a sudden this property kind of came to us, and everything started down this path. And so you almost have to pinch yourself, to be honest. It's a weird feeling. It is.
Take us to this morning.
Yeah.
You're waking up, you're getting ready. Like, what are some of your thoughts in your head?
For me, it was excitement. The other cool thing is the whole team is incredible. We have such passionate whiskey drinking Liberty Pole team members that I felt confident. I was excited for today, and I think mostly just to be able to share it with everyone. I think that's what was cool. So I was excited, nervous for sure. You know, you have the, you know, kind of pregame jitters for sure. I was excited.
This is such a wonderful experience, wonderful time. What's fun for you is you open the doors and every day's a new day and you never know what to expect. But today's a celebration of all that you and your family have worked hard towards. And it's been hard. It's been watching the grain get delivered and needing parts or wondering where maybe bottles or all those things that we've been through over the last couple of years. Today's a day to celebrate and we celebrate you. And if you haven't been out to, if you're not from this part of Pennsylvania, or, you know, you're not that far from Kentucky, you're not that far from West Virginia, Ohio, this is a destination spot. What would you tell people as far as, you know, why they, you know, what would be special for them and why they need to experience this?
You know what? I think it's such a cool balance of experience, both from a drink side of things. I think Mom's cocktails are some of the best out there, right? And then to be so up and personal with the production, with the viewing mezzanine, and then being able to see what looks like a Kentucky style rick house here in Western Pennsylvania is such a unique thing. And so, and then I think probably the most important thing is the people. I think between the team members and even the customers, the people that come in, everyone shares this sort of positivity that it makes it all worth it.
Thanks, Kevin.
Oh, thank you guys so much. Thanks for making the drive today. This is fun to celebrate with you.
We wouldn't have been anywhere else.
That's awesome. Hey, cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Cheers.
This is a treat for me to sit down with both you, Ellen, and Rob, because we didn't talk the last time we were here. I interviewed Jim, and I almost felt like I missed the real, you know, other part of the story.
Pretty much right about that, don't you think, Rob?
Probably. Yeah, I think so.
We're the core right here. We're the core.
This day, Ellen, what does this day mean for you, this culmination of all you've worked for over the last couple of years?
I think the best part is watching all the people have fun, watching all the people come in and feel how beautiful it is. It's a combination of Rob's skill at distilling, using his dad's recipes, and it's a combination of using the history of Washington County's rye whiskey. That is an amazing history that no one has ever honored before. And I feel like this is something that honoring it right now is a huge responsibility. And to see everyone looking at it as though they're very proud to be here, that's what today means to me. The customers are proud of us, and that's huge.
We got a tour from Jim this morning of the Rick House, which is the largest Rick House in all of Pennsylvania.
Right now, yes.
And, you know, I can only think to my, you know, in my head, as you've been putting this all together, everybody has said Ellen is the brains behind the whole building and organization. Is this all that you saw in your head? Is it all come true?
It's way better. It's way better than I thought it could be. I think when you say I'm the brains behind it, I think I always grew up in a family where my father expected us to do the best. If you're going to do something, then you're going to do it right. You're going to do the best. And I think I felt bad a lot of times for riding the family maybe a little bit too hard. We're going to do this right. We're going to do it the best we can. But then I see it in my boys. I see it reflected in the boys. They are always coming forward with, this is how we make it right, and this is what we're going to do. And so I feel like maybe I raised them too well, that you know, it would be nice if there was a little bit of a little bit less perfection in them. But they are looking for what makes whiskey the best, and I could not be more proud of how we've come, how far we've come with the lessons that we've learned. So saying I'm the brainchild is just saying, hey, Mom, you tried your best, and this is what you got. It's perfect. This is what you got from an amazing family. I have an amazing family.
That's high praise, Rob. And, you know, kind of talking about helping to set this up as the distiller here, the creator of what now is going into those barrels, which is going into the bottles, which is going into these glasses. What does all this mean for you today?
Yeah, it's pretty exciting for us. It's cool seeing the new building and, like my mom said, how much everybody enjoys it. And from the distilling side, what I'm pretty excited about is the timing of this building works out very well, where we feel our product holds up to the professionalism of the building, the branding, because it takes a while to really get your legs underneath you whenever you're making a whiskey brand. So we've been doing this for 7 years, and I think now is one of the – we've been proud of everything we've ever put out, but now it's kind of the first days where we have a three-year-old product that was made – perfectly to spec, that we really proud of, wouldn't change anything about it. So nowadays when everybody gets a bottle of Liberty Pole, it isn't, oh, this is a growing brand. It's now, this is what the Liberty Pole profile should be, right? So it's kind of cool seeing that timeline line up with the opening of the new location as well.
Talk about that mindset. I mean, you're really, you know, you're talking to something where you're seeing the craft industry, at least in Pennsylvania, grow up too. And people want to know when they come in, what do you have? And is it true they kind of go, it's really only a 2-year product, or you're still, as you said, you're trying stuff out, but now you've reached a point where you can say, this is our product. This is where we have everything dialed in, and this is where we want everything to be.
Yep, 100%. And it's pretty cool. I would say we owe a lot to anybody who's bought a bottle from us for the last 7 years, because without it, we wouldn't have had the opportunity to keep filling barrels and keep trying and keep working on this process. And it's really exciting because all the big distilleries make really, really good whiskey. But as far as what the American umbrella of whiskey could be, they're a pretty tiny sliver of it. So thanks to these craft distilleries that keeps popping up, now we're starting to see whiskeys that fall maybe over here. It's completely not what you'd expect out of an American rye whiskey or out of an American peated bourbon whiskey, right? So it's kind of cool seeing all these whiskeys come up and mature. And really start to taste, in my opinion, super professional.
You take all this whiskey, Ellen, and then you make cocktails out of it, and you are the grand wizard of cocktails around here. Have you always had an interest in cocktails, or what has your experience been with making cocktails? And we've had some amazing cocktails today that will rival some of the best Manhattan, Washington bars. They're delicious. Where did that come from, Arby? Talk about your experience with cocktails.
So I, when we started, I thought it would be very easy to open a tasting room. I'll just ask bartenders for their recipes. And come to find out, people don't drink a lot of whiskey cocktails. Vodka is very popular, rum, tequila. And you ask a bartender, so what's a great whiskey? And they always say Manhattans, Old Fashions, Sazeracs. And you're like, but anything else? No. So I spent a lot of time researching, but I think we have some amazingly happy memories of me looking for those unusual ingredients that show the whiskey forward. What you're tasting today, we want you to taste a very strong whiskey flavor in the background. We want you to feel like this is versatile and flavorful, and it's definitely Liberty Pole. I can't get another cocktail like this. And my happiest memories are, here's an unusual ingredient. I'm going to mix it with our whiskey, and I'm going to take it out into production. and my boys at 10 a.m. on Monday morning going, Mom, it's 10 a.m. We're not drinking cocktails. Taste this, boys. See where we are. Because we always wanted to present our whiskey as, you know, whiskey forward. It's beautiful. It has terroir. You're not going to taste anything better than our whiskey, so to speak. So it was more an effort for me doing research on unusual ingredients that enhance our whiskeys so that when you drink our whiskeys, you enjoy also the way the cocktail is expressed because it's so beautiful and unique.
What's fun and listening to describe that, you're an architect, you're an engineer. You helped to create the vision of this building. Everybody that has said, hey, it's almost like, have you seen Ellen's building? That seems to be what people talk about when they say, because, you know, you wanted these rooms to be a certain way and the layout to be a certain way, but you also want the cocktails to be a certain way. And at the end of the day, what you're really trying to do is create a medium, a platform for the whiskey to shine.
That's exactly right. You couldn't have said that better than me.
She'll probably but steal that one.
See that, Rob? See that? Because, you know, I'm way over budget on decorating.
Well, I can say if you're way over budget, what you put into this building and this facility and everything has been well worth every dollar.
And thank you for saying that. But I still believe, as Rob said, it's all the people that brought us here. You can build the building in the shell, but what's been so beautiful is seeing our friends who've been with us from the beginning, like you, who've been with us from the beginning, come back and feel comfortable and love it here. That's perfect. That's whiskey.
I will tell you, and I know it's hard because you've probably both thought about how do we transition what I would say is your family motto, your family creed, your family philosophy into something bigger and still keep that family feel. Is that something that was a conversation that you had throughout the building and the design?
Constantly, yeah. She could answer it better than I could, but definitely that is. So you kind of pick and choose what elements we feel are most important to that and grow based on that. So
yeah, I think it's hard to be a family-run business because what shocked me was, you know, I love my children. They're men. They're amazing. I thought they were amazing. So we come together at work and we're going to now discuss how can we do this, whether it's decorating, whether it's making whiskey. And if you say something that is perceived as a criticism, I think I was shocked at how much they love me because I would say, I think we should change this. What? You've made, oh, Mom, that's such an insult. It's like, I'm not Mom. I'm your co-worker right now, and I enjoy co-working with you, but I had to be very careful. I think we all had to learn to be very careful to separate family love from business success. And I think every family business has that problem. And I think that the harder it is, the better it is to respect each other. You go through the really tough parts. The still hits a bridge. And now you're another month behind, and it's just devastating. And yet we stayed together as a family because now all of a sudden it's the hard things that have united us and made us stronger. And we respect each other more because of the hard things that we went through, not because it was easy. So I'm overwhelmed that they love me so much, but we're coworkers, we're moving forward. And when it's hard, just go forward. Don't look at me as Mom until Sunday night dinner when we're cooking together, we're sitting around, then I'm your mom.
This still hit a bridge, Rob?
Yeah, did you guys hear that? Yeah, hit a bridge in Cincinnati. So shut down a major highway in Cincinnati for 3 or 4 hours, something like that. So
all the newspapers. It was horrible.
Yeah, they took it right back to the shop in Kentucky and started working on it that night. So set us back, all in all, probably 2.5 weeks, I think, for them to repair the still. So.
But I really grew to admire Rob because Rob's always been, Mom, don't be hard on people. You gotta be businesslike. You gotta be. Rob sent the nastiest emails.
No, I didn't. That was Kevin. And no, none of those were nasty.
We're editing this part out.
Yeah, they were. No, nobody said it. They were working just as hard on the still as we were. So we had shared interest to get that fixed. So
it was like every 3 hours there was an email from Rob. So what's our plan?
Pretty interesting.
So what's our plan?
Pretty interesting. You can still see the ripples on the top of the still from the dents. It was repaired. you can, it was repaired. It works absolutely wonderfully. And if you don't look closely, it looks perfect. But if you do look closely, you can see some of the ripples on the top stainless steel from where the head got caved in.
Yeah, they 45 mile an hour wrapped the top of that steel on that bridge. Now you have to bring in the bridge inspectors, and they've got these pictures of tractor trailer accident. The steel is falling over on top of the copper head that was packed behind it. And we're going, that's our steel. That's our steel. It's 7 months late. It's our steel. So that was quite a horrifying experience for the entire family, that you think you have everything under control, but you can't control everything. You can't. You can't.
Talk about what you can control now, Rob. You've got this beautiful new facility to create, and just it's more of an open space to what you can do. What are some of the things that you're looking now to bring to Liberty Pole?
Yeah, 100%. That's what we're really excited, because over the last 7-8 years, our process has really gotten honed in. We figured out exactly what we really care about, what other parts may not be a big deal. And the plant was set up very efficiently to perform well at exactly what we want to do, which is process these heirloom grains, ferment on the grain, transfer over to the still on the grain, and that we have the two pot stills, which I think is the main aspect of the distillery. We are huge fans of these pot stilled whiskeys. With the amount of grain flavor they're able to carry over and promote, it's unbelievable. If for us, whenever we age them in the 53-gallon barrels, where to the point where they get to sit for 2 to 3 years, you can still taste that grain flavor, and it's so bold, it's unmistakable, but it's not really confusable for youthfulness at that point, like we've had with other pot still whiskeys with other size barrels that we've done in the past. So that's the main thing, is we did not want to switch to a continuous column still. So now we've got two beautiful pot stills sitting out there, one of which, the spirit still, is carried over from our old location. Pretty important, because we're very comfortable on that. We know how to run it. We know what the whiskey that comes off of it tastes like. We know what directions we may want to push one run, or may directions we want to push something, a separate recipe. And then pretty interesting, whenever we got the opportunity to source a stripping still, the one that hit the bridge, unfortunately, right? We got to make a couple changes. So our finishing still, we love it. We kept it on board, like I just talked about. If it has a flaw, it's that it likes to clean up the whiskey a little bit. So we found ourselves really pushing the gas with that thing to keep the grain flavors in that we really care about. So whenever we got the opportunity to put a stripping still together, we said, hey, let's make this as short and squat as possible, right? And it's meant to be the worst possible still you can find. We don't want it to rectify anything, right? So now we can put these big, heavy, low ones that come off of the new stripping still. And it's pretty tall just because of the nature of it. But if you look at where the top of the beer is to the top of the still, it's like a 3-foot difference, I think. And then the line arm even comes off the side. We didn't even take it out of the top. So we're trying to push everything through that we can. And so the goal being have these big, heavy, low ones. And now the finishing still Harold doesn't have to work quite so hard to push through that grain flavor. So it should be a really awesome flavor profile. We're also pretty excited about the barrel house, right? Which I assume you guys have seen.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what. So we're also excited about the barrel house, because to us, with these pot stilled whiskeys, it pushes through a lot of these grain oils, as I've mentioned. So one of the main important things for us during aging is oxygen, right? We care about that more than oak. I guess it's debatable. More than oak. And so that's the most important thing for us during aging, is this oak contact. So to us, we had no intention of storing them vertically, right? Because if you store a barrel on its head, the amount of surface area that's actually exposed to air is considerably less than whenever you lay them on their side. So whenever we started laying them on their side, you run out of space a little bit quicker. So we had to put the ricks in order to preserve this side storage aging. And the nicest thing about the ricks is then you even get space in between each row. So the amount of airflow through that rick house should be pretty substantial. So we're very excited about that. And we finally have different climates to play around with aging as well. So before, we were aging everything in our basement, which was a fantastic aging environment, but every barrel saw the same set of conditions, essentially. But now we've got barrels on the third floor, the first, the fifth, and it's pretty exciting to see over the course of the next couple of years what that results in.
There's a 20-degree difference, or 15. What have you discovered?
It's pretty hot outside, and we're definitely starting to see bigger gradients than we had seen the last couple months.
Yeah, so what you're seeing is the first floor is is at one temperature.
Pretty steady.
And you're looking at 15 to 20 degrees hotter on the top. Which, again, I'd like to take credit for, Rob, because I think I love all those flavors. That Liberty Pole flavor is everything that I want whiskey to be. And I really feel like when Rob brings me a glass, taste this one, Mom, I might be taking Rob, hey, taste this cocktail. But when he brings me the glass, taste this one, Mom, and he slaps that glass down on the counter in front of me, I know this is going to be the flavors that I like. And I'm just amazed. They took the drill away from me because I used to drill the barrels.
That's a true story.
Because, and they're like, you're drinking the profit, Mom. But if they,
I didn't say that.
Well, I found a good one I liked, and I just maybe go down and sippy poo. It was a hard day, a little sippy poo. But I think that's what I think is so admirable. I love a flavorful whiskey, and I think you find this in customers. You find this in the new customer base for whiskeys. I think they're all brilliant, and people know whiskeys. And I think we offer them something that is just treasure to be treasured from Southwestern Washington County, Southwestern Pittsburgh, Southwestern Pennsylvania. And you have smart consumers who really appreciate what we're trying to do here. So it's not that we're working hard. It's the fact that the customers appreciate the effort and the time spent in that barrel house with 20 degree difference. I'm finding that to be as amazing and just joyful as it is for me to taste the whiskeys that we're creating off our new still, because it's everything I like.
Well, as a customer, I mean, it's exciting for Dawn and I, because like we're trying this new release that you have today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This straight
high rye bourbon.
The straight high rye bourbon.
Yeah, yeah.
And there is so much flavor coming off of this. And as this is sat out, there's so much different flavor. And I think, as Rob, as you were saying, the characteristic of now what you're creating from just discovering who you want to be to now arriving as to who you are comes out in this release.
Yeah.
I think this is exactly.
Thank you for noticing. I think that is a tribute to most consumers of whiskey. They're becoming that sharp and that notice. They notice the subtle changes of whiskey. And that is a compliment to you as well, honestly.
What was it like for the both of you? I don't know who's going to answer first or who's going to answer together. But what was it like for you to wake up this morning? I've asked Kevin this and some other members of your staff. What was it like to wake up today and know today was opening day?
I woke up this morning overwhelmed. Jim and I decided to have a cup of coffee on the deck. And we looked at each other and said how far we've come from August 2014 when we decided to make the decision to go here. And I just kept saying, I don't think we can go wrong, because I think we have an amazing group of consumers. I think, again, I just keep saying, you guys recognize what we've tried to do. It's easy to work for people who want us to be the best. It's easy to work with my sons who want to be the best. So I had a cup of coffee on the deck this morning and said, come what may, this has been a great ride. And it's a great history of whiskey. And I'm very proud to be the conduit, if you call it that, for this new place. I'm very proud of it. Very proud.
I fed my nine-month-old daughter pancakes.
see, your nine-month-old daughter puts life in perspective.
Yeah. Yeah, she needs to eat every morning, whether it's opening day or not. So I fed her pancakes, and honestly, with the fermenters up and running for the first time, that's really where my brain's been at these last couple weeks. So, yeah, frankly, I woke up, fed her pancakes, and thought about the amount of low wines we have sitting out of there. We have no more capacity for any more low wines, so a spirit run needs to happen sooner rather than later. So kind of thought about what the sequence is going to be on Monday at the new place. But, yeah, but it also, to be fair, very, very exciting. It's kind of interesting because on one hand, whenever you sit back, it really does feel like you've came a long way. I remember in the old days shoveling corn by hand, right? And now we're in an office with air conditioning. It's pretty crazy whenever you look at it that hand. But on the other hand, it doesn't feel any different. It kind of feels like you had the same level of, I don't want to say risk, but it just started rolling. The ball started rolling in 2014, 2016, whenever we started working, and every day it pretty much feels the same. where you wake up, you make whiskey, you taste the whiskey, you enjoy it, you meet awesome people, and then you do it again the next day. So
I asked Kevin this because a long time ago, Jim was working, and I said this allegedly, working is still on the back deck. And take your mindset from those days to where we are today and that whole journey. What is that? Like, were you sitting there going, nice hobby, thank you, I like whiskey, but well, Ellen, think about that. What were some of those conversations back then?
Well, that's funny that you should bring that up because I was very negative. The boys are, you're in junior high and they're measuring all the scientific, they're doing everything analytically and they're only making a little pint of whiskey off this illegal still. And I'm begging them.
Allegedly.
And I'm begging them not to tell their teachers. And I'm telling Jim, this is a mistake. We cannot have this out in public. And so I was very much against it. And that was a huge mistake. I should have encouraged it more than I did because I think we were meant to be here. And that was, if you ask me, looking back on that, I would have participated more and I would have hidden. I would have hidden it better and I would have participated more because what we learned from those early days has brought us to this point. You cannot start a distillery. A lot of people think that that's what they can do. I'm just going to go buy a still and I'm going to start a distillery. There's so many nuances. It's like playing a hymn on an organ with 40 million stops. There's so many ways that you can play that organ and you can change all the stops. And I can play the same song as Rob with different stops.
You
and
know
it
more
sounds
about organ playing than I do.
Okay, sorry.
For sure.
But I mean, that's the way whiskey is. It's not something that people just walk into. And I should have realized that. I should have realized how much effort it took and how it was going to be at the beginning. But all I could think of was I'm a rule follower and this is an illegal thing we did. And I'm actually regretting that right now because it turned out, allegedly, owning that still turned out to be one of the best things we ever did.
Well, think about it. It all comes back to history. And there's a lot of history here at the distillery as you've created it and recreated it again. But this area, it's about rule breakers. It's about the Whiskey Rebellion. It's about we're going to do what we need to do to create the lifestyle that we want to create. We're not going to, you know, it's not going to, we'll step on people's toes, but we're going to be, this is what I love and what resonates with me. Your family, it's, you said it, look, 6 days a week, you work together. One day a week, you come together as a family, but many people have communicated how much what you've imparted and your vision has made them, Dawn and I, we felt welcome. We felt like we were part of the family. We're changing our last name to Huff. That's what we're going to do. You know, if that
spell
gets...
Spell it H-U-F-F.
No.
Less confusion.
All right. Talk about, you know, those days, Rob, where you're measuring stuff on the back deck or those little things and that... All right. You were doing that and now you're here today.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. And we were fortunate where the way that we stepped into making whiskey was a very long process, one that I don't think I would ever want to sign up for again, but I wouldn't change a single thing about the way we've done it. So you kind of learn how to run a still on a very, very small scale, right? And you use that to the very early days of Liberty Pole where we were filling 5 gallon barrels, right? So you use those lessons that you learned to fill 5 gallon barrels. And those start turning over in 3 to 5 months. And while you're tasting those, looking at your data, you're kind of trending those. You're like, hey, we're going to jump to 10-gallon barrels before too long. What do we want to do? And then you start to change things a little bit, and you get quicker feedback in those 3 to 5 months. And then you make some changes to go to 10-gallon barrels. 5 to 7 months, you'd make those changes to go to 15, which, if I remember correctly, were 13 to 17 months in that ballpark. And then you make those changes, we go to 25-gallon barrels for a couple years, and then you make the last set of changes, we jump to 53s. So you guys get the point, but pretty interesting where the process we were using a long time ago has similar aspects to what we're doing now. It also is vastly different in other aspects. But that changing one variable at a time for the course of 8 years has finally led us to the end vision of what we view Pot Still Liberty Pole Whiskey to be. So
I think you make it sound beautiful.
Yeah.
But there was that horrible year.
Yeah.
Where we dumped those bourbon.
There's bigger mess ups than others. There's some like the ones that I dislike now are we've got some pretty clean whiskeys that I think on the scale of heavy whiskey over here, you know, perfectly clean, neutral vodka over here. I think we let it slide a little bit closer to vodka for a couple months there. It's a great lesson to learn, but a hard one. So that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about right now. But yeah, back in the days, we processed corn that we shouldn't have processed. Yeah. I don't remember whose decision that was. And then
So what happens is the TTB and the federal government, they monitor the amount of corn that we receive. They have a little formula that they say if you get in this many bushels of corn, you should make this much whiskey and you owe us for the federal excise tax. So you're reporting that every month. And at the very beginning, we paid a farmer to grow this heritage grain and he was growing it, but he didn't dry it enough. And we got through, we started producing, everything was going great. And by the end of August, the Bloody Butcher corn is grown from April through November. So now count yourself a whole year through to the following August. And now the entire amount of grain that we have bought is moldy. And I said to Jim said, "Oh, we're screwed. We bought it, but we can't distill it." I said, "Yeah, distilling. It's mold. I mean, you're going to. So
high temperature. What could it hurt?
You'll get sick, but you'll taste it."
But so we did that. We went ahead and we cooked it, and then we went through the fermentation, and it still tasted like mold. And now we're distilling it. We distill it. We do not distill the taste of mold out. It still tastes really bad. That was in August, remember? So now we're putting it in these 5-gallon barrels, hoping it's our Christmas bourbon.
This is right around before I worked here, just to throw this out there.
It was me and Jim. So now.
I love how any culpability.
I just got to make sure that my name stays relatively distanced from all of these decisions.
Here's the beauty of where we are right now. You've been open for a couple hours. Everybody's been drinking. Yeah. We're having a good time. Yeah. All the family secrets are coming out. And you're not going to take any. You're not going to be any part of it.
So now we're getting close to Christmas. We're getting ready to release this bourbon. Because I'm sure that when you age it, you're going to age all that moldy flavor out. And it gets close to Christmas. Now, remember, we paid for the barrels. We paid the farmer. There's just so much money wrapped up in. How much did we dump?
I don't remember anymore.
So we're tasting it, and the boys have just...
In the scheme of things, I don't...
You know, that therapy session, it'll come out, but right now you're not remembering. Yeah.
I mean, it was thousands of dollars in my mind.
If I was to throw out, kind of interesting, I was there the day we dumped it, I remember it. I was very, very happy. It was a weight off our shoulders type of day.
They dumped it. Yeah. They told me, stay home.
Everybody else...
Because I was crying. We cannot dump this. This is all our money. Nope. We are not releasing, and that really is true. You can't release bad whiskey because then no one will ever come back. They're going to remember that bad whiskey. Yeah. But for the TTB is like, well, you made this much whiskey from this much grain. You owe us the excise tax. So what you have to do is you have to prove to them that you're dumping it. You're not selling it behind their backs. So the boys had to videotape the dumping so that we would not have to pay the excise tax. They would see that they dumped all of the whiskey. We don't owe them any taxes. It just was bad. But there was a lot of money. And so Jim said, stay home today, Mom. They're dumping the whiskey. And I sat at home silently and cried and swore to God we're never going to do that again. And sure enough, the next year we're telling the farmer, that grain has to be dried. But you don't learn that lesson. There's no school for this. You have to learn it the hard way. So looking back, it was just the cost of my education.
It's about, look, not every time you fire up the still, you're going to have success. You can learn. You can put your formulas together. And 90%, 95%, 99% of the time, you're going to do exactly what you want to do. Mm-hmm. You can't control until you learn how to control the farmer. You can't control, all right, like you said, you've got low wines just waiting for you to distill right now, right?
Yep.
Well, you don't want to let them go too long.
Not too long.
But you want to get them in the still.
and you want to get started.
Yep.
And what I hear you say is, look, there weren't always great days here at Liberty Pole, but they were great lessons that you learned, because if you hadn't, you wouldn't be here today. If every day you woke up, it was like Willy Wonka's chocolate factory and, and sugar plums, and we wouldn't be drinking an amazing spirit at the quality level that we're drinking. Look, again, this comes up. We're tasting this as we're talking. I've never gotten squash out of a distilled spirit. No. It's almost like a squash flavor and or consistency. The mouthfeel, there's this graininess. This is what number one craft is about, and this is your legacy to what you're bringing to the whiskey world. It's just so complex. You're not just going to open a bottle and go, oh, you know, hey, right? You're going to explore this.
Yeah.
You're going to understand that whiskey is so much more. And then you throw this in a cocktail, Ellen. Wow. What can you do with this? So today's day one. Today's like day one. And one of the things I hear that you're both talking about is you've been working towards this. Do you get a chance to relax a little bit and say, all right, let's just keep producing great spirits and keep producing great cocktails and keep welcoming our guests to the tasting room without aspiring for like grandiose plans?
I never want to be enamored by, you know, I just want to keep the steady pace of this is Pennsylvania whiskey and we're just making it really good. I do want to have new concepts for cocktails. I never want to get away from that. And there's always new ingredients coming out. There's new people to explore who make products that we could mix with whiskey. So I never want it to be stagnant. It's got to keep growing. We got to keep going.
Yeah, for me, pressure is on now because now the system is up and it's ready to roll. So it's time to start, you know, producing quality grain forward whiskey. So a little bit. I'm excited to take off the construction hat and put back on the whiskey making hat. I think 3 days ago was the first time we had, you know, conversations about what we taste in the product for the first time in like 4 months, right? And less about, you know, how many parking spots there are in the parking lot. So it's pretty nice to take off the construction hat and relax in that way. But as far as the whiskey making hat goes, I don't think so much relaxation is what we'll look for. We probably won't try to do anything outside of our realm that this place doesn't allow us to, but we're excited to use this place to its full capacity for sure.
I'm grateful. Dawn and I are both grateful for your time today, your vision, your creativity, your stick-to-itness, your philosophy, your character, and what you bring to the whiskey world. And this is a treat. This day is, you know, it's a highlight for you, but as one of those, you know, customers, you know, raving fans, thank you for all you do. Thanks for the hard work, the effort, the tears, all that.
That was to Mom.
Thank you. Somebody appreciates the pain.
Thanks so much.
Well, thank you very much for coming out. It's very, very nice. It means a lot to us.
Thank you.